I'm just going to get Chris to come up. He's beat me to it, but I'm going to get Chris to come up and preach to us this morning. Chris, why don't I pray for you really quickly?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Why don't you stretch an arm out towards Chris, just as a representation that we are with him as he hears from God this morning. Lord Jesus, we pray for Chris. Thank you so much for his faithfulness towards you, to the work that gets done all behind the scenes, to meet with you and to pray and to listen to what you have to say. So, Father, we pray that you will speak through him, that you will use his words, that they will be your own, and that as we hear from him, we will hear directly from you this morning what you want to challenge us to and encourage us about. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chloe. Hey, it's great to be here with you this morning. For those that don't know me, my name's Chris. I'm one of the leaders here at Christchurch. Let me just get my slide up on the screen. Have we got the start of the one that with the crane on it? Yeah, wonderful. Hey, I wonder if you've been here since September. Perhaps you have, perhaps you're visiting today. If you're visiting today, welcome. It is lovely to have you with us this morning. If you've been here since September, you will know that we are looking at how to build the church of tomorrow. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean, how do we play our part in what God is doing, building his kingdom in his way, in his timing, through his people? Now, I'm going to give you a brief recap, and then I'm going to tell you where this is all heading towards Christmas, and tell you how you can be involved. So, if you haven't been with us, this is going to be like the whistle-stop tour through the last, I don't know, 8, 10 weeks, something like that. But we began by the place of saying, how can we be a community that is shaped by the truth that Jesus is Lord? What does that look like for us? And we started exploring that. But to recognize that, we recognized that we had to be a community of disciples walking alongside each other, encouraging and strengthening each other to be those people that recognize that Jesus is Lord. But before we went off the back of that, we then said, but to be that people, we don't do that in our own strength. We have to do that in God's strength, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we looked at what it is to be a community that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. And we'll touch on that a bit more. Chloe reminded us last week that what God is looking for is our obedience. He's responsible for the success. And then this morning, how can we be a community that is confident in the gospel? Now, all this is reaching towards us being confident in the gospel this Christmas time. Of course it's reaching beyond that, but this is our marker where we say, how can we be this community that as we come to Christmas, this season that we love because people are open to conversations about who Jesus is. And in those conversations, we have opportunity to share something of Jesus' love, hope, peace, and joy. If you were here last week, you may have picked up a bookmark and maybe an A5 flyer. If you didn't, there are some at the back. Do take one on your way out. But we are asking, as church family, can we do a few things? Firstly, could we pray? Would you join us in praying for one of the Christmas services or events? Or maybe more? Would you also join us in praying about who you can invite to Christmas, to one of the Christmas services? Ask the Holy Spirit, say, who would you like me to invite? And when you pray and you feel like, yeah, that's the person or those are the people, would you take that action and invite them? We have some little A6 cards at the back with each of the Christmas services on. You might take some of those, give them to people, say, I'd love to invite you to this event. So pray, invite someone. And then would you come and serve at one of our events? It is the most amazing way to get to know people, to serve together. So much exciting stuff. If you look at the back of that card that's going on, it's got all the different ways that you can serve. There's sheets at the back you can sign up on, and there's also online. And then finally, come to one of our events And would you talk to someone? Talk to someone and invite them to come again in the new year. 24th of January, we are putting on something called Just Looking. It'll be just the perfect event for someone who's saying, I just wonder who Jesus might be. Those big questions of life. Invite them to come to that event. Now, if you're thinking like Christmas is a way off, don't worry, we're already bringing it forward. This Saturday, so just 6 days' time, we have the Christmas market. This place is going to be full of people, different stalls and people mingling, and the cafe will be open, full of bursting with life. Now, Amelia, would you stand, give us a wave? I think Joe's had to rush off to do the kids' work. Amazing. Amelia and Joe have done so much putting this together. So much. Brilliant. But they would love to give you the opportunity to serve at Christmas market. And again, I did last year. I was making teas and coffees for stallholders. I had a great time. So I really encourage you. Go and find Amelia at the end of the gathering. There's a table at the back. I think you've got some space. Excellent. Getting a thumbs up there. And say, how can I serve at the Christmas market? And then as if that's not enough, 27th of November to the 1st of December, Christmas experience. There's the opportunity to serve there and play your part in bringing hope, joy, peace, love into the lives of children and their teachers as they come and be present in this church and learn about the Christmas story. So this is why we encourage each other to be confident in the gospel. Of course, it's part of a bigger story. We read at the end of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, last chapter, we read, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's what we're reaching for. That might feel like it's a way off, but with every person that we introduce to Jesus, that has become a whole lot closer as they receive the transformation that Jesus brings to their life. So this morning we are going to focus in on what it is to be a community that is confident in the gospel. We're going to begin to equip ourselves in this. Maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I was on a flight, a business trip, to South India, to Chennai. An hour into the flight, I'm praying. I say, God, what would you want me to do on this flight? Clear as anything, the Holy Spirit says to me, would you speak to the flight attendant and ask them if you can pray for them? But particularly, would you offer to pray for her son? Oh, how I wish I hadn't prayed. You know, I could have just got on that plane, I could have put the headphones on, found a nice film, and just sat and chilled, and that would have been great. But no, I had prayed. Someone had encouraged me to pray. And so here I was. God, I can't do that. Look, I'm shy. I can't just strike up conversation with someone who I don't know. It'll be awkward and weird, and God, isn't there someone else on this plane you could ask? Like, there must be. There's so many of us here. Why me? But there it was. It wasn't going away. I wasn't saying anything different. Oh, all right then, don't worry. So the flight attendant comes around and offers me something to drink, and I take that and off they go. There you go, God, told you I couldn't do it. You see? But still, it was there. No, you can do this. I wanted some support. I kind of looked over to the person next to me. Perhaps they kind of were a Christian. I don't know, but they didn't. There they were, headphones on, film. Like, well, at least they can't hear what I'm going to do. A bit later in the flight attendant comes back. Would you like some water? Yes, please. Somehow, and I cannot remember the words I used, I stumbled my way through to telling her that, well, I've been talking to Jesus and he's wonderful and he's asked me to ask you if I could pray for you and particularly for your son. I didn't even know she had a son. And at that point, I saw emotion in her face and she simply said, yes, please do. And then went off to carry on. So I thought, well, at least I'm going to pray with her right now in front of everyone. So I just quietly prayed. I thought, there you go, God. I've done it. I've done what you asked. and thought not too much more of it. Didn't pray much more, and just what else was he going to ask of me? So put a film on. But later in that flight, the flight attendant came, got my attention, and said, thank you so much for praying. And told me a little bit of what was going on with her son. And, you know, it occurred to me then that in that moment, through my sort of faltering way of trying to do what God had asked me, she'd seen a little glimpse of Jesus's love and hope for her and for her son. And I didn't feel like I could do that, but God chose to use me in his wisdom. I don't know why. And yet he did. And perhaps it was because I felt so awkward and inadequate at doing it. Maybe that helped the message to come across. I still don't know. The reason I share that story from such a long time ago is that was before I was doing this job. And so often we think, okay, this whole sharing the gospel, well, that's for those who are called into church ministry. Well, you know what? We're all called into church ministry. As followers of Jesus, we're all called to be those who share the gospel through the way that we are with people. And so whatever your life looks like, we're called to be ready to give an account of the one whom we love. I want to read together in just a moment. As we unpack this idea of what it is to be confident in the gospel, we have got these four building blocks. We're going to explore each of these. Firstly, that our confidence in the gospel comes from recognizing Jesus' love for us and our love for him. But we can't stop there. We have to recognize that Jesus loves people. He loves them and invites them into a relationship with him. And so we too have to say, Jesus, would you give me that love for people? As I've already alluded to, we don't do that in our own wisdom and strength. We listen to the Holy Spirit and we respond in obedience with whatever he asks of us. And none of us do that alone. We do that as a community of people, encouraging, strengthening one another. Now, I'd love us to read the first seven verses of Philemon together. I wonder if you'd join me, if you can see a screen. Let's read these words. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. I love that. I love hearing the way Paul talks to Philemon. You may know some of the story, and if you read on, you'll hear it, but just set this in context. Paul is writing to Philemon to encourage him, to invite him to receive back someone called Onesimus. Now, Onesimus, the thing is, Onesimus used to be Philemon's slave. He's now a follower of Jesus, and Paul is commending him to Philemon, and he said, would you receive him back? Not as a slave, or even just an acquaintance. Would you receive him back as a brother? As a brother. And so when we start thinking about our confidence in the gospel and our love for the people, when we introduce them to Jesus, we're inviting them to become a brother or a sister in God's family. That's huge. That's the reality that we are inviting them into. Now let's dig into this. When Paul is talking to Philemon, he says, I thank God because I hear about two things. Firstly, your love for all his holy people. And secondly, your faith in the Lord Jesus. Love for people, faith in the Lord Jesus. We see these two things coming to the fore to have faith in Jesus. We have to love Jesus. We have to love the people that Jesus loves, which is everyone. That might remind you of Jesus' response to the teacher of the law when asked what the greatest commandment was. Jesus answered, it's this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." And we're taken again into this, these two things. Firstly, that we have to be those who recognize that Jesus came and died for us. Came and died that we could be united with God. Death couldn't hold him, and so he rose and he ascended to be with the Father so that he could send his Holy Spirit to dwell within us. And our response, Jesus, we love you. We love you with our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with our strength. All that we are, the way we think, let that thinking be a representation of our love for you. Our strength, let our actions be a way that we demonstrate our love for you, Jesus. But he doesn't give the teacher of the law just one command. He gives him another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor because I love them. And so to share the gospel with someone might just be the most loving thing we can do for them. Because we invite them, whatever they are facing, to know Jesus, love, hope, joy, peace. For the Holy Spirit to dwell within them and bring transformation to their lives, that they can then walk through the battle, knowing that their Savior is for them. That's why we share the gospel. Because it brings transformation to the lives of people. Paul had more to say to Philemon. He prays that Philemon's partnership with Paul and the rest of the team that was there may be effective in deepening his understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. You see the connection? This isn't like you've got to do everything first. You've got to sort of get to a level 10 with loving Jesus before you can then start preaching the gospel to people, sharing the gospel with people. No, you haven't got to do all that before you can be part of the team that is doing that, the family. He's saying, no, your very involvement in the family, seeking together to outwork all that God is asking by his Spirit for you to do, is the very thing that will deepen your understanding of who Jesus is and what he's asking for you to do for his people. You see how it all starts to work together? Now, that idea of deepening our understanding, I want to bring one more scripture to us this morning. John 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he goes to the cross. He says to them, "Look, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Jesus is reminding them that he and the Father are one. And that when he is risen again and he goes and ascends to be with the Father, that he will send the Spirit. And he will speak to the Spirit and the Spirit will speak to us. He talks about the Spirit dwelling in us. And so we are equipped by the Spirit leading us. Now, I shared that moment on the plane. It doesn't always work like that. But what matters is our obedience. I can tell you about another flight where I tried to strike up conversation with the person next to me. I tried to share something about Jesus, and they kind of grunted at me and put their headphones on and watched the film, didn't speak to me for the rest of the flight. Did I do the right thing there? Well, I thought God was asking me to do that. So I have to trust him that I did the thing of obedience. And now prayer walking, asked a couple of you, hey, can we pray for you? No, I'm all right, thanks. Okay, well, we have to trust that we did the right thing. Spoke to someone I know a bit and just got chatting, and in the midst of it, there's the Holy Spirit saying, you offer to pray, offer to pray. I did this time. I said, yeah, please, that would be wonderful. You know, the success of it that we so often judge, God, if you want to ask me to do that, I want you to do this in response because I want to feel great about this. That's not the thing. The thing is that God says, hey, would you do this? Now, we don't know that that person who ignores us and says, no, thank you, there might be that day another 5 people who are going to come and ask that person, and by the 5th person saying, oh, right then, yeah, of course. We don't know that. But if we hadn't played our part, maybe they wouldn't have come as close to Jesus as they did that day through that person who came after you. Always led by the Holy Spirit. Always obedience. But never on our own. I wonder when the last time you had the opportunity to share with someone in the church family that sense of what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. You have one of those conversations where you're like, I just want to get beyond like the football and the weather and whatever else. I just think the Holy Spirit might be saying this to me. What do you think? Can we work together? Can we learn from each other? Or I really want to share something of my love for Jesus with my work colleague, but I just don't know how to do it. Maybe there's a friend here. You can pray together about that. You can work together. Explore together what God might be saying, how you might do it. Now, as we go through the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking this more. Next week, we have... Do you know those moments where a name completely goes from your mind? Greg Downs. I'm sorry, Greg, but I forgot your name if you're watching the live stream. Greg Downs is coming to speak with us. He is an evangelist. You know, sometimes God wires people in a way, he gifts them, and they just, it seems effortless. They just start talking about Jesus. We're not all gifted as evangelists, but we're all asked to share who Jesus is with others. But we're going to get, as a church family, to hear from someone who God has said, this is your gifting, this is going to be your work. And we get, as a church family, to learn from him. That we might be a little more equipped to share the gospel with our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our family. So that's coming. That's next week. This week, I'm going to invite us to do 2 things. Firstly, I'd love us to get refreshed about who Jesus is. If we're going to love Jesus, we have to remind each other who he is. He's Lord, Savior, full of grace, full of love. He meets us where we are. He doesn't ask us to come and be someone that we're not yet. Before we get to know him, he says, no, come. Come and know me. Would you join me and others? Would you read Mark's gospel? Find some people in the church family to read it with. Chat about it. But as you read it, would you do this? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to make Jesus increasingly known to you? So that as you're reading those words, you're saying, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus afresh. And maybe when we come back together next Sunday, you will be full of those moments where during the week the Holy Spirit has shown you something of Jesus that you're able to share with someone else. I never knew Jesus was like this. Gosh, he is so full of love. That bit I read about the teacher of the law, at the end of that, in fact, let me get the right words rather than trying to do it from memory. It's this beautiful moment. Jesus sees that this teacher of the law answered him wisely. And he says to him, he says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how many times I've read that, but I read that this week. And as I read it, I just caught something of Jesus' heart for that teacher of the law. He's there, oh, would you come into my kingdom? And he says, you're not far As we come back next Sunday having read Mark's gospel, what are those moments where you're going to be, I saw again how much Jesus loves me and how much he loves these people that I'm praying for. And then, the second thing I'm going to invite us to do. Would you pray for opportunities to share the gospel with people? It's dangerous, I know. Back on that plane. Because the Holy Spirit might just ask you to do something that feels way out of your comfort zone. But what an awesome prayer. You can start each day. Holy Spirit, would you give me opportunities this day to share the gospel with people? And in the next breath, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit for the courage to respond in obedience? The reason it involves every one of us, firstly, God, by his grace and love for us, says, hey, come and be part of what I'm doing, establishing my kingdom in your community. That's a privilege. And because there's people that he will reach that he can't reach through me, but he can reach through you. And there's others he can't reach through you, but he can reach through you. And so on. And we could go around, every one of us. So would you dare to pray that prayer? God, give me opportunities to share the gospel with people this day and the next day and the next day. And give me courage to follow what you ask of me. More coming in the weeks ahead. As I thought about what God was asking of us this morning, I want to focus in on that idea, the sense that he will tell us by his Spirit who it is we're to be praying for in this season. Now you may be like, I already know. Great, it's awesome. But if I haven't paused and thought about that, I'm going to invite us now to pause for a few minutes. I wonder if Al, just the band, if you can come up. Let's say to God, by your Spirit, would you show us who we're to be praying for? Now, if you find yourself here and you think, well, you're talking about Jesus and I don't know him, I love that you're here. Thank you for being here this morning. And if you find yourself in any way thinking, well, he sounds amazing. Or even, I'd just like to know a bit more about him. Maybe take these next few minutes to say, Jesus, would you show me who you are? And when we've prayed for those people, I'm going to invite us as a church family to respond with an action, a really simple action. I'll tell us when that moment is, but the invitation is, I've put a long sheet of paper out there over in the south aisle. It's covered in pens. And I wonder if those people that God puts on our heart, who we might pray for and pray for and pray for, and maybe we already are, would you take a walk over to the south aisle and just write their first name? They don't need to be identified, just first names. But God knows. Now you might say, what is there in that, just writing a name down? Well, in a sense, nothing. There's no magic going on. But it's a way of saying to God, look, I recognize what you're saying to me. I want to commit this day to praying for this person. And if you find yourself on that journey of wondering who Jesus was, write your own first name down as a way of saying, I'd like to know more. But let's now be still for a couple of minutes, be asking God who it is he'd like us to pray for.